got a number of things happening today, so I maybe just want to give the order out of how things are going to work. So we're saying goodbye to a number of people, actually luckily a fairly small number of people. We're saying goodbye to some people, and then what we're going to do is we're going to have a number of testimonies from the congregation, and then afterwards we will do some worship. So, you see, I feel like maybe I should pray, not to get everybody quiet, but just to get every heart settled. So maybe let's just pray before we start. Jesus, I want to thank you that you promised that whenever we come together as your people, you are there, Jesus. And I pray that in our coming together, Jesus, that we will honor you. I pray even in our coming together, as we consider what you have done in our midst, in this time, Lord, that you will be glorified, Jesus. We pray for the stories, Jesus, that's not just theoretical sermons that is spit out somewhere isolated from your realness and from everyday life. We pray for, as people testifying how the reality of you has impacted and changed their lives. I pray for something of you will be seen and tasted and experienced today in your midst. Father, may you be glorified, may you be exalted in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to ask Jock and Shanae if you guys can come to the front. Where's Mignon? Sorry, Mignon. If you can. And also. I'm doing it too often.
Good morning, everyone.
Yay.
Yeah, so I just want to share a bit about, just what I experienced in this congregation of Josh Jen. So I joined about 4 years ago. I came from a very traditional church. My family always went to church and stuff, but I wasn't really saved. I had no interest in, actually serving God and anything like that. So about 4 years back, I joined this congregation of Josh Jen, and I got saved in it. I actually came because of Shanae. She like persisted in asking me to come with her and stuff, and eventually I came and I got saved, which was really awesome. I think just when I reflect on these last 4 years, one of the main things that really stand out for me is how I just learned to accept myself, in a sense. I was always very insecure and very, just unsure of who I should be. I was always trying to compare myself with everyone else and trying to find value in small things, So I think just one of the main things that I really grew a lot in is just accepting myself, just trying to learn who I am, who I should be. And just to accept myself. I think that was one of the main things. And I really experienced a lot of freedom in that. Also, one of the main things that I learned is just how important family is, how important accountability is, because each one of us really want to walk in everything that the Father has for us. But you have to do that in family. We are made to function in a family and to receive input from other people. I can only see a small part of what's actually going on, but everyone, if everyone sees a bit, I receive so much more than I can receive just on my own. So I just really saw that it's absolutely essential to be slotted into family and to be accountable and to receive good input. Now.
Just to make it clear, it wasn't like a flirt to convert thing. Like, guys, I joined Josh Jen Stellenbosch in the end of my first year. It was just after the first comm split of Josh Jen Stellenbosch. So I'm like part of the furniture. I think the Josh Jen family has been there for me in very important and big events in my life. So just like through studies, through the divorce of my parents, through the dating season, through the first years of marriage. And yeah, I just really appreciated accountability, and especially like the elders. I really just like saw their hearts like for the sheep and to shepherd the sheep. And it really just reflects God's heart. Thank you so much. I think for me, the biggest thing that God came to do in my heart is being a well-rounded Christian, and not almost like being hiding, you know, under, you know, no, I'm just like prophetic, you know. but like really almost taking from others around you, seeing, you know, the gift of hospitality in somebody, seeing the gift of teaching in somebody, and really just like almost taking some of that and really, asking God to reveal that side of that person. Just like functioning in that gifting, but also having like accountability to work on the fruit, because like a gift is just a gift, but if you don't have the fruit in your life to back that, it's not worth much. I think accountability and being not almost just hiding behind one gift, but being a rounded Christian to connect to people, to be able to relate to others as well.
Hello. So I just wanted to share just something that the Lord did in my heart specifically through this year. So before coming to Stellenbosch, and particularly in this year, I really felt God wanted to show me something of his father heart, just to like establish him as a father. And so my actual earthly dad and I saw each other this year for the first time in 12 years. It was a long period of really praying and trusting for restoration in that, because when I was 15, we lost contact. So before this year started, I felt God say that March and June would be significant months for me, and then March was lockdown, which I really needed. and June, July was when my dad and I spoke for the first time, where we reconciled our relationship, which was amazing. I felt the Lord give me, he gave me a vision a while ago of just a picture of how he was going to reconcile my dad and I, but I didn't think it would actually happen in this life. I really didn't, because my dad's quite hard and stern and cold, or at least he was. Then I wanted to go see him in Pretoria, and I was praying the one night, and I was talking to my sister about buying a ticket, and then I was like, okay, Lord, if she gives me X amount for the ticket, then I can pay the rest. Put down my laptop, slept. The next morning I woke up to a message, we're going to pay X amount for your ticket. So I ended up going to Pretoria to go see my dad. And I stayed with him for a couple of days. And he like completely blew my mind. Not the dad that I knew, so soft, so caring, went out of his way to make sure I'm okay, phoned me regularly when I was with my sister, came and asked me to sleep over, for my birthday, because he missed a couple, he bought me a pair of gold earrings, but he didn't know that I'd been wanting gold earrings probably for a couple of months. I never spoke to anyone. I never prayed about it. I never like asked God for them. I just received them. He refunded the part of my ticket that I paid for without me asking. And finances were always a difficult issue with me and my dad. Like it was a struggle. And even recently, I was going to go visit him in December, but it was a bit of a struggle whether I should go or not, and I was really scared to phone him and say I can't come, because I thought he would be disappointed. I thought I wouldn't be doing enough for the relationship, and he actually offered to give me a large sum of finances. And then he said, but you don't have to even visit me. Like, you can use this for whatever you need to get through the next season. And that broke me because God doesn't give with the expectation of us needing to work for it. And that has been the biggest struggle for me. So it's just been really cool that, like the earrings, God gave those because he wanted to, because he loves me, because he knew it was something I wanted. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And the fact that he used my dad was really cool. So yeah, just in terms of understanding God's father heart, he has broken all the boxes that I thought I could put him in. So I'm very thankful for that, and that happened throughout this year. It's still a journey. And also just the family I've had here has been absolutely incredible and so supportive. Even in going to my dad, I wasn't at Calm the week before I went, and they sent me a voice note where all of them prayed for me. And I just started weeping. I was like, this is incredible. Like, I'm not even there, and you guys are so invested, so committed. They were always checking up on me, how are things going, supporting me in prayer. So yeah, like, family is super important, and I think an encouragement would really be to just really give yourself where you are. Like, I knew I was only going to be in Stellenbosch for 2 years, but I really made effort to give myself. And yeah, Jesus really gave back a ton. So, yeah.
So this wasn't really planned. I'm just thinking, anybody that is trusting God for a restoration with their relationship with their earthly father, would you please stand up? So let's trust God. I think there's something that God wants to, I mean, this is really not planned, but I think there's something that God wants to do. And what he did for Mignon, he can do for all of us in a whatever way, you know, and feel this grace and anointing really to trust God for that, you know, in whatever way, whatever path he's going to do it, that we'll trust that something of that will happen. So, I mean, you guys see the people that is standing. If we can, maybe those that are close by, you know, just let's keep a mask on, you know. But I don't know. But those that are close by, if you guys can just maybe lay your hands, just stand around people, and let's just trust.
Father, I just want to thank you for who you are, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that who you are is not defined by our earthly dads. It's not defined by anything in this world, but it's defined by who you say you are. God, thank you that you are the God of the miraculous, and that you really can open doors and break through barriers that we couldn't even possibly do. And yeah, Jesus, I just want to lift up every single person here today that is really trusting for restoration with the earthly dads. God, I want to ask that you just come and break in there in ways that that would seem actually imaginable or impossible, that you would soften hearts where hearts are hard, that you would just bring grace where grace is needed, and God, and even that you would like raise faith in those who feel a bit hopeless. Thank you that we can put our hope in you, and you are our ultimate father, but your heart is still so for restoration. So Jesus, we really just put this before you today, and we really ask and we trust, Lord, that you will make miracles happen here. In Jesus' name.
Father, we pray for each person here. Father, we pray for the years of even wounding that has come from whatever absent dad or a dad that didn't represent you well. Father, we pray that right now, Lord, even if there's anointing to heal in that area, that you will just come and touch, Jesus. Father, where we need to let go, where we need to let go of offense, where we need to forgive, Father, I pray, Lord, you are understanding. You are sympathetic. I know, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will provide a grace, that you will provide a strength so that we can release. we can forgive, Father. Father, we pray for a special favor. Father, even as your last promise in the Old Testament is, that I will restore the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the father. And Father, in line with that word, in line with that prophecy, Father, we want to pray that it will manifest in our midst, Father, for restoration of the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Again, if you are a visitor today, we are strong on family, natural family, but also spiritual family. So when we greet people, it's just not going through a ritual like it's their last Sunday. All right, bye. They say something and they go. There's something that we actually celebrate them for who they are, for what they do, and we just the family want to come around. So I know it's a little bit of sit stand musical chairs at the moment, but If those that were in their comms and those that are close by, friends, maybe we can just come around and then we just pray for them, send them off well. We'll do one at a time, guys, so we'll... Kristen wants to be the Holy Spirit, you know. You can't be, Kristen, sorry. So I wanted to say, Jock and Shanae, so Shanae testified and said, like, one of the things that she's learned is that the need for well-rounded, one-balanced Christians. So I don't know how many of you know Shanae, but she was a classic third heaven Christian, you know. That's where she would hang, seldom come out, and when she comes out, we will hear of everything that she saw in the third heavens, you know. And it was a great blessing, you know. But there were other muscles and other areas that had to make around it so that she can be seriously effective in heaven and on earth, you know. And it was amazing to see. It is amazing to see that rounding has taken place in your life. You know, and I know you've got an awesome husband and he's done great, but I specifically, I want to highlight that in you because I think it's good to know that I feel you go from us and much of that has happened. Much of that rounding has taken place. You guys have served awesome. You guys have served awesome. I don't know, Martinez, I mean, Dave, maybe you also want to say something.
I'll try and... Let me do this. I remember her as part of a furniture and when he came in. And I remember how the stuff Shanae would mention, she would pray for and God did. And I remember thinking, whoa, God's going to show you new things. But I didn't want to pop that bubble that early, you know. And it's so awesome. I just told her, she's so more relatable now. Now that she can actually... also on other levels, relate to people. So yeah, for me, it's been incredible. And to see Jock, I mean, come in as a very quiet guy, and you can just see the dynamic in their marriage and how he has really stepped up and he's really like going for it and boldness and wisdom. And yeah, it's just awesome. Yeah, I'm really proud of you guys.
You guys are going well. Celebrate that. Right. Maybe we can have three or so prayers.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, just for this amazing couple, Lord. And yeah, Lord, we just want to honor them and just their serving heart, Lord, and just running for you, God. I just pray, Lord, where it's a sad moment maybe for us letting them go, Lord. It's just a exciting moment, for you and for just the journey that they're on, Lord. And I just pray that you'll just equip them, Lord, that you'll just stir up excitement in their hearts, Lord, just for what you can do and for what you have planned for them, God. And yeah, I just want to say thank you that they were part of this congregation, Lord, and we just want to honor them and just send them away with lots of love.
Yeah, Lord, I thank you for just the amazing couple that they are, not just individually, but together as well. And I pray, Father, that as they go out, that you will prepare the way for them. I pray that, God, if they join Durbanville AM or PM, that they will throw themselves into that congregation, Lord, and just serve even to a greater capacity than they've served us here. I pray, Jesus, just for great friendships to be formed on that side. I pray, Father God, just for your Spirit to go before them and just to give them favor wherever they go, Lord. And yeah, we're just trusting you for great, great, great testimonies to come. We're excited to see what you're going to do in and through their lives. And we're excited for kids. Yeah. We're excited to see the Brady Bunch pop out of them one day.
Yeah, I just had these words in my heart of, like, God's going to bring you into this next new season. It feels like it's going to come a full circle. Like, those are the specific words I heard. And I don't know if there's any areas in your life that you kind of still has not necessarily been completed yet or work hasn't been finished yet. But I feel like the Lord is going to be doing that, just with this new season of you guys moving. So, yeah, Jesus, I thank you that you're so faithful to finish every work that you've started. And I thank you, Father, for the things that you have started in their lives. The works of maturity, the works of wisdom, things that you've really just brought by such fruitfulness because of their faithfulness, God. And I trust you, Jesus, that the things that they're going to walk in, in the Durbanville area, God, I pray, Father, just for completed works to even be rounded off in this time. Thank you for their faithfulness, and thank you for the example that they've set in this congregation. We just want to praise you for their lives.
All right. Then with Mignon, so I want to say, you know, that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul says, and it's again such a beautiful completing of the cycle, completing of the circle, if we have to. And so thank you for giving yourself for 2 years that you've been with us. Thank you for the way that you did it. It's been great. Thanks.
Yeah, Jesus. There's a desire in us when we go to new places and we start new things, that we're starting this whole new clean slate, and that these people don't know us so well, so that we can start a new version of ourselves in front of them. But God, I actually pray that you wouldn't actually have that desire, but that the slate would be continued to be built upon, Father, from here. That who she is right now, who we've received and who we've been with, that Mignon would be the same Mignon that is received on the other side, Father, and that the restoration of the Father and the fruit that's going to come thereof and the comforting that she can give to other people that will be built upon in the next place that she goes to, Father. And we just also just thank you that the slate that she came in here with, you've cleaned up and you've made anew and you've started building upon that, Father. And I really thank you so much for how much you've blessed this church through her, Father. Through all the battles that she's had to fight in the quiet place and in the private place, Father, and that a lot of times we weren't able to see that, Father. We know that we've actually been the recipients of the blessings of those battles in the quiet place, Father. And that so many times she's been able to spend time with girls
and going through the exact same things that they've been going through, but because of what you've been doing with her in the quiet place, even if there wasn't the full restoration, you've been able to use her to comfort others, Father. And we just pray that, that ministry that you've put upon her, Father, would be utilized in the next place she goes to, Father, and that the people there would just realize as she steps in how much of a blessing is going there. Jesus, we do release her, but we don't release her easily, Jesus. I know you do, but you're God. But just thank you that you've blessed her, blessed us with her, Father.
Okay, Lord, we really just want to thank you so much for Mignon, Lord, and for life, Jesus. And just how much she's meant to so many of us, Lord Jesus. She's really got a special place in our hearts, God. And yeah, thank you for your faithfulness, God, also in her life, Jesus. And we also want to honor Lord for her perseverance, Lord Jesus. And keeping her eyes on you, Lord Jesus, and fighting the good fight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, just for your faithfulness in her life, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that by sending her out, Lord Jesus, we can do that knowing, God, that her life is really in your hands, God. That you've got this, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we pray such a blessing over her, Lord. Lord, as your church, Lord, we really just want to bless her, Lord.
Mignon, I just have a sense of a waterfall from you, and that the Lord is bringing that refreshness about you, and it's just such a calming manner that it has, and even with the women that's going to be in your lives, is that you bring that refreshing of the waterfall, and it's a sound and everything that comes with it. And I think what the Lord's trying to say is that there is that refreshing, and you bring that calm, and it takes away the fear that the women or whatever have in their lives. And that's the kind of spirit you bring in, is that calming and refreshness. And I just see that water flowing over the rocks, smoothing it and bringing that calm. Oh Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you that you love your daughter so much. Daddy, thank you so much that she sees your heart. She sees the Father in you. And Daddy, we honor you for that. Thank you for the daughter that you've created and the work that you've done. And we can testify now of it and say, Lord, you reconcile relationships. Even we thought that it wasn't like this, Lord, but you can soften the hearts, Father. And you've done it by this woman as well, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you for blessing her. Thank you for being with her, going in and going out. And Lord, we just speak your favor over her life. Thank you that she will change the nations in her household, where she walks, in the territory that you've given her, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of her gift. Thank you for that stirring up, and that you'll continue in that, Lord, and that your kingdom will advance through that, Lord. For it's your kingdom we put first and your will that goes with us, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you for blessing Mignon. Thank you for the woman that she is, and thank you for the woman you are making her, Lord.
Amen, amen.
I see.
All right. So the plan, as you guys have heard, we're going to have a couple of people just sharing their testimonies of some of the things that God has done in and through them in this year. I think Aiden, where's Aiden? He's starting.
Okay, so a lot of you have heard snippets about my testimony, but I think it's time that I just give you a summary of how insane God has been for me this year. So let's just rewind a bit. End of last year, I finished my undergrad in drama and theater studies. A lot of my friends were doing the whole thing. You move to Cape Town, you get a job as a waitress, you get an agent, you try to get into the industry. Sounded like a good idea to me, but when I prayed about it, I really felt God asked me to stay in Stellenbosch. And I was like, okay, so my parents live in Paul, I'm going to have to pay rent, flats are expensive, how am I going to do this? And he like made a way that finances became available so I could put down the deposit and I could pay like the first month of rent. So I was like, okay, great, what am I going to do while I'm in Stellenbosch? And then I felt him say he wants me to do my honors, and I did not want to do my honors. I was done with the academics. I just wanted to practically pursue my passion. And I felt him say, no, stay, do your honors in script writing. I applied, I got in. Somehow there was enough money in my account to pay for the deposit. And then I was like, great. But first I applied and I told God, okay, I will do my honors if you give me a bursary. So BA students then have a lot of options for bursaries. You had two. There was three, but I didn't qualify for two. And I applied for them and I didn't get either. And I was like, this was my, I told you this has to happen. But I still felt, stay and do your honors. I was like, okay. And this year's journey, just to like give a nice metaphor to explain it, I don't know if you guys know the story in the Bible where Jesus, he sent his disciples out on a boat, and they got there and it was stormy, and then Jesus walked to them and Peter was there, and Peter was like, if you're Jesus, tell me to come out on the water. And Jesus was like, step out of the boat. And Peter stepped out and it was amazing. And then Peter saw what was happening and he started sinking. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out and saved him and said, why do you have such little faith? And they got back in the boat. And it says, and they glorified Jesus. That is what my year was over and over again. I started this year as like, I stepped out. I have my flat. I'm studying, but I have no way of paying for any of it. I don't have a car. I don't know how I'm going to get from my flat to my classroom. It was like, I remember like January, it hit me like this sinking feeling like, I'm not in the boat, I'm on water, and there's a storm, and just how over and over again, whenever I felt that feeling, Jesus was like, just look at me, it's okay, you're sinking, I'm going to help you again. And over I thought, he's going to punish me for not having enough faith, and he's going to be like, I've been providing, and still you struggle to trust me, so I'm just actually not going to come through for you anymore, like really you need to learn, every time he came through. So just to list them a bit, let's start off with, someone gave me a car. That was really good. They were literally like, okay, go pick a car, and when you have one, just tell us how much it is, and we'll pay the money into your account. So I did that, and I quickly bought a car, cash, drove back. That was really cool. Lockdown came, so I waitressed to pay my rent. During lockdown, you can't waitress, so I can't pay my rent. And I was like, it's a horrible feeling when you sit there and like, and it was nice. At first, God would like provide for the rent 2 weeks before the end of the month. But eventually, it got like closer and closer. There was a time where it was literally like a day before I had to pay rent. And I did my budget and I was like, okay, I need 3,000 rand. I've got not enough. And then I was like, this is horrible. So I went outside to sit and I was like, I can cry. I'm going to cry. This is a good time to cry. And I couldn't cry because I just had so much peace, like God's going to provide. And then I was like, I can't cry. Like, I know you'll be fine. But that was like 6 months down the line. During lockdown, Carla would call me. He's like, so someone at church just offered to pay your rent. I was like, what? Who? He's like, no, they don't want to say, but they offered to pay your rent. I was like, do they know I need my rent paid? It's like, no, I don't. I really don't know how they know, but they want to pay your rent. That happened twice. And then that other day where I wanted to cry and I couldn't because I had peace, the next day my aunt was like, hey, Aiden, we just want to give you like 4,000 rand. So I was like, not only did I get 3,000, but I got 4,000. At one stage, I was like, okay, Lord, like just really getting to know God's heart as like a father. So he was providing for my needs. But then at one stage, I was driving down Dorp Street and I was like, like none of my clothes fit me anymore. Lockdown has been a time for all of us. So I was like, I don't feel like good in like anything. Like, I just wish you would provide a way for me to feel beautiful again. And then there was this couple in church who literally said like they felt God tell them to give me a certain amount of money, and the condition is I'm only allowed to use it to do things that make me feel beautiful. So I was like, that is like not necessary. It's not rent. It's not electricity. It's not my car insurance. But anyway, so that was amazing. The other day, my laptop broke, and I do script writing. You need it very much. And I was like, okay, I'll just wait until I have enough money scraped together to fix it. And then one day I get to my phone and it says 7,500 rand has been paid into your account with a reference, buy a new laptop. And I was like, who's this? And I don't know who these people are, but thank you. And then just at the end of this, and then September came and someone emailed me, it's like, this bursary opened up and I really think you'd be great. Maybe apply for it. And I got it. So in September, by the way, until September, I did not know how I was going to pay for my studies. And then September came and I'm finishing this year off, no study debt at all, which is amazing. Yeah. So every time I was sinking, Jesus reached out and he was like, Aiden, just have faith. And every time I got back into the boat, he was the one that got glorified, which is amazing. And I've always been someone that was like, Lord, I want my life to have fruit, where it's like, this was impossible for man. It could only have been God. And don't pray. It's like, okay, if you pray it, no, he's going to deliver on it. And it's a very scary journey. But I love that I can look back at this year and be like, in no way was it possible for me. And I love how this year, it didn't make me dependent on him providing financially. It taught me about his character and who he is. And he is a good father. And every time I expected provision to come from a certain area, the moment I put my faith on like a bursary, then it'd be like, don't put your faith in a bursary, put your faith in me. And every time I trusted in something specific, he provided for it in a completely different way. And he just really taught me not to be dependent on things, that I'm really dependent on him to provide for me, whether that would be through a job or through someone in church blessing me or through a bursary. It was always him behind it all. And I'm so thankful what I learned about him and his character. It changed a lot. And I will never be scared to be in his will again, because the cliche Pinterest quote, if it's his will, it's his bill. It's true. Yeah, thank you.
So Aiden. So just tell us, so it's not about the finances, but money that has come to you that has no other explanation, meaning you didn't work for it or anything. What's the sum?
So excluding my bursary, which was 60,000, which is great, I got 103,000 rand, like just got it this year. Like, no, not excluding excluding the car. That was a lot more. That was more than that. Excluding the car, I got 103,000 rand this year. I worked it out, that I just got. Like, I didn't, not my salary, not that I worked for, like, I got. Yeah.
I must watch out to do this now all the time, but it just feels like this. How many, just by show of hands, all right? How many of you are trusting God for provision at the moment? Aiden.
Okay. Lord, thank you that you are a good father, and that is a fact that we can count on. You are a good father, and you are more than able to provide. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, which basically just means that no sum would ever be too much for you. You never have to rework your budget or dig into your savings. You are more than capable to provide for us. And thank you that you don't only just give and give and give with the aim of just giving us whatever we want, but it's also there to show us your heart for us, and that you're such a good dad. So I pray for the people who are trusting you at the moment, Lord. Thank you that you are the one that can sustain us in the waiting period, and you're the one who gives us the faith to just be sustained in that waiting period. And I pray that you will give them that. And at the end, Lord, that when they have that sinking feeling, that you will pull them up, that you will provide, Father, and that when they get back into the boat, that you will be the one who gets all the glory, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We don't have to manipulate you or beg you or try and coerce you to give to us, Lord. You love us and you're a good dad. You love to give, Lord. And we thank you for the creative ways that you will provide for everyone who's trusting for finances. Amen.
Hi, guys. When I, God has told me about 10 years ago already to start my own firm. I'm a lawyer. To start off with, that's not an easy place to be if you're a Christian. And I didn't want to do it. And that's another story. It's another testimony how he got me. I had my met a slop trick gevang om my firm te begin. There's no other way to describe it. But I did. And then when I started my own firm, there were some people working in my office. And it all went well for sort of almost a year. And then it was like all hell broke loose. There were things that happened in the firm and that I didn't even realize in the beginning. And then I started seeing, actually, you know, there's that scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, where the scripture says that everything in the Old Testament is given to us as examples of the new. And I literally saw the battle that Elijah had on that mountain with Jezebel and Ahab and the double-minded Israelites playing off in my office in front of my eyes. A very, very dear friend who was also an attorney that I was walking a road with completely changed, her whole personality completely changed. And she became an Ahab to such an extent that she was telling me that this other person who was carrying the Jezebel spirit became her voice. It was so, if I didn't experience it myself, I would have thought it was a chapter in the Bible, to be honest. It was unreal. It made me so aware of the spiritual battles in this world and the truth that there is in Ephesians 6, that the battles that we fight is not earthly, it's spiritual. So the long and the short of it is, this woman joined our firm, this other person, and she was a very strong, there was a very strong Jezebel spirit in her. And luckily, genadiglik, God had told me before, he's revealed, I had a battle with the Jezebel person before, so I could recognize the symptoms and the effect that it had on me. And if I can only describe it to you, there comes a fear upon you that you cannot describe to people. It isolates you spiritually, socially, emotionally. It attacks your health. It makes you despondent, and you feel you want to run for the hills and just leave your job and never come back. And I thought, God, I don't know why you gave this firm to me. I don't want to see the inside of a court ever again in my life. That is where it turned out for me. And then God started speaking to me, and I was crying out to him and praying. And the one miracle after the other happened. There's lots of facts. I actually have to check my notes, because if I tell you it all, you won't believe it. It's just too much. You can't believe it. Okay, so the first thing that God showed me was that scripture about Elijah and fighting and what happened there. So I could recognize the role players, and I could turn to God and ask him, show me how to handle each of these situations. And I remember one morning, I was on my way to work, and I was tired. I was beyond tired. I was dead tired. And while I was driving to work, God said to me, turn around now and drive to a prayer meeting that I thought I wouldn't attend that morning. And I drove to the, and it was like God was rebuking me. You guys, it's scary when God tells you, I could say no, draai om now. So I turned around and I went there. And when I got there, I just broke down in tears. I mean, I just cried and cried. And the people laid hands on me and they prayed for me. And then I went back to work. And on my way back to work, God gave me that scripture. And I must be honest, I study my Bible diligently, but I can't quote scriptures like that out of my head. And he said to me, Jeremiah 1 verse 17. And what God said to Jeremiah there was, if you show your weakness in front of these people, I will let you fight this alone. Don't ever do that again. And I was so rebuked, and I was really, I felt convicted, and I had to repent to God, because it's not my own strength. So now by this time, you must know that I was fighting this fight afraid. I was scared, and I was just knowing that all the things that were coming out, that there was a real risk that I was going to lose this firm that God gave me in total. So that was the first warning that he gave me. And then when I repented, things changed, and there came a peace over me that you guys know it can only be from God. And then at one stage I realized that this fight was becoming more intense, and it wasn't only that Jezebel spirit, there was something worse. It was something more darker and more powerful. And then while these people were doing like the most atrocious things at that stage that I could think of, God was telling me, love them. Love them unconditionally, forgive immediately, and pray. So I had to humble myself. I had to humble myself. I had to bridle my tongue. I had to pray. I had to forgive. And I even made them a breakfast.
that I made myself. I didn't even go to a restaurant for that. I don't know where I got the strength from. Well, actually, I do, but I did it. And in obedience, that is what God told me. And afterwards, I got the revelation that this the attack from the enemy there that operated in that person as well was a Leviathan spirit. And if you read Job 41, you will see that it's as hard and cold-hearted as can be. It's got scales on its neck. You cannot sever its head. Only God can fight that spirit. And the only way that you fight a spirit like that is with love, because you starve it out. So that was something that I would not have done on my own. By this time, I wanted to litigate against them and take them to court 10 times already. And that was not the fight that God was showing me to fight. And then also what the other thing that I realized, the intensity of the spiritual battle. And I phoned a lady that I know. She does all over South Africa. They do spiritual deliverance and Helene Tron. She's like really very well experienced in all of this. And she told me, she gave me some scriptures, and she said to me, put them up in the office. And you can take my advice for this. If you're fighting a spiritual battle, take the scripture and you can just stick it under the table or under the bed or wherever, because the people don't see it, but the demons they do, and Satan does. And so I put up those scriptures, and you will not believe me. The moment I did that, those people could not enter that office anymore. They would come to the door, turn around, and run away. They could not come inside the office one more time after that. It was the end of it for them inside the office. And it was such a revelation to me of the power of God and the reality of the spiritual battles that we were fighting. And so if I have to tell you what I got from that, God still, I was brave, I was courageous. This was the book, the season that I was in. Yes, it begins with that episode on page one, that scripture in Joshua that says, be strong and courageous. So I learned to fight. Sometimes you've got to do it afraid. You just have to do it afraid. But God will get you through it. So I still went through another battle after that, where God got really delivered me from a lot of strong fears that I had in my life. And I just want to give you one piece of advice. If ever you go through a trial or a tribulation and God shows you something, tell him, just be obedient, just be broken, just be vulnerable, just take whatever it takes, humble yourself, and be broken and contrite before him, because you don't want to repeat that test, and you're going to rewrite it if you don't pass it the first time, because he loves you too much to leave you. And then the second thing that stood out for me there is, when you fight with spiritual authority, you must make so sure that you don't have, that your own heart is clean, that you are not carrying the same things that person, because that person, the one trademark of that Leviathan spirit is pride. That's how it functions. It's very, very prideful, extremely cold-hearted, and very calculated, and it leaves a slimy wake, and gossip and slander is all part of it. And you have to fight that with the opposite spirit. So that is why God told me to love and to forgive and to pray. And that worked. I wouldn't have won that battle if I didn't sit at God's feet every morning and cried for like an hour before I went to work for a while. And so it's so important to guard our hearts. That's why that scripture is there. And then the last thing is, what I realized then is, when you read the story of David, when he met Abigail and Nabal, I don't know how you pronounce his name in English, but he was that cold-hearted guy that died, and David later married Abigail. But when she met him, she said to him, I know you. You are the one who fight the battles of the Lord. And I just want to tell you that these battles are not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. When you make it about yourself and when you focus on yourself, that's when you lose the whole fight. Because God specifically told me to still share the gospel with him, to still warn them and to still give them word from him. And I did that even though I didn't feel like it. And I had to be so aware of the fact that that battle is not mine, it's his. And when you read the story of David, it says, and he inquired from the Lord, and he inquired from the Lord, and he inquired from the Lord. And then the last thing, it quite touched me this morning when I saw it, when I wrote it down. One of those mornings, I prayed to the Lord, and I heard the Holy Spirit said to me, when you experience difficulty, refine your focus. And he gave me that scripture. Oh, I'm going to be the talk. Sorry. It was It was a very encouraging time for me. He gave me the scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued from the mouth of the lion. So when I was asked to share a testimony this morning, it was a bit of a battle for me to choose which one, because if you give me a chance, I could tell you many miracles that happened in my life. But this one really stood out. And then I realized every time I want to share this testimony, Satan attacks me afresh again from all sides and with all sorts of things. So I just want to tell you guys that when God says put on your spiritual armor, please do it every morning. Don't skip a day. The devil is never on holiday. And then the very important thing is keep your heart clean before God, because you have no spiritual authority against the devil if you still harbor those things in your heart. So it's so important for us to just allow God to just deliver us from all those things that we have to overcome. And if you have to write the test, just pass it the first time. You're going to repeat it.
It's a short testimony, but it started basically last year when I got a word from someone saying that the Father's going to teach you how to pray. And I didn't really know what that meant until basically the beginning of the year. And so for me, at the beginning of lockdown, I really felt just to reinforce my identity and who I am in Jesus. And as soon as I started working through Ephesians, etc., I started learning about praying and spending that intimate time. And the manifestation of that intimate time happens in the physical realm. So the other day, I think Ruan was preaching about stepping out, etc., and we stopped off at Spa to get some food for the afternoon. I ran into Spa and I saw this security lady pushing her trolley, so tired from the day, etc. And I really felt to just go love on her, kind of thing. So I approached her and I just said, "How's it going?" And immediately she kind of looked at me and very defensive, like, "What are you doing talking to me?" type thing. And I just asked her, I said, "Listen, I just feel like you've got some back pain, and I was wondering if I could pray for you." So she looks at me and she's like, "Yes, I do. I do have back pain." "How did you know?" So I said, "This is Jesus. He's got your name. He knows you." So she's like, "Yeah, please." So I prayed for her. I prayed for her twice. And her eyes just got big, very, very big. And I said, "What's wrong?" She's like, "No, there's no pain." So I said, "Touch your toes." She touched her toes. She's like, "No, what's going on?" And I said to her, "That's Jesus. He's personal. He's got a relationship with me, and that's why he came to me today to tell you that you're special." And I said, "You can have the same freedom. Would you like that?" And she said, "Yes." So right there in the middle of the Spa with everyone walking around, I just laid her in the prayer of salvation. And the conversation, her stature is now upright. She's walking in this freedom. She's now smiling. She now wants to talk to me some more. So I told her, I asked her where she's from. She's from Kai Mundi. So I try to point in the direction of our Kai Mundi guys and stuff like that. But I think the biggest thing for me that I took away from it is that as we stop for that one, God will move. And the signs and wonders of the healing is not for that specific reason. It's just an experience to get to their heart. And that's what changed me from your identity. As soon as you understand your identity, you step out, God blesses it through your intimate times. And you walk in that identity and you see people come to Jesus. And that's what he wants. He wants the hearts.
nou so hard. I'm shaking. There was a time in my life where I really struggled with understanding what mercy and grace is, and being religious goes with that. So very self-righteous, and I was, for a long time, I was in a group. You can basically say it was a type of a cult. If you're in that group, you know, you're going to make it to heaven. And you're very self-righteous, judging other people for sin and doing things. There came a time where actually the preacher was exposed, and he did a lot of horrible things, and the whole group came to a finished. Just wanted to add to that. Sorry. So I was so bad religiously that, you know, sometimes my sister even say, "Surieta, don't you just want to be my sister?" You know. But after that group broke up, I got involved in a very bad relationship with a guy that was. It was really very destructive, and here I found myself turning away from God and living really in sin, and it was really a terrible time of my life, trying to justify my actions and what I do, and still trying to get out of it, but you know I couldn't. It was so demonic. It was so bad. It was just really terrible. But God was so gracious. There was a time that something got exposed from this guy, and the Lord says, "Surieta, I really love you, and I want you to make a choice now, because if you're not making this choice now, I don't know what's going to happen." So the fear of the Lord came upon me, and I just knew I had to be obedient, and I ended the relationship, and I know I had to go for deliverance, they say all that they saw is death and sickness and destruction. This guy basically cursed me and everything, and when I ended it, and at that time of true deliverance, of repentance and crying, and then the Lord showed me of what is mercy. That's what I was asking when people talked a lot about it. What is mercy? What is grace? Because I asked myself it and I didn't understand it. And at that point, during that time and repentance, and this is mercy and this is grace. And I understand. If he could forgive me, if he could cleanse me in turning even my back towards him and living in such sin and healed me emotionally and spiritually, physically. And it was actually so such a revelation and a freeing experience of when I saw people after that, I saw them through the heart of Jesus. Saw them through experiencing the love of God for me, the forgiveness, the cleansing, the healing, and I found myself gratefully at a place of when I saw people sin or I heard about it, I could say, "Lord Jesus, I know where they're coming from, and thank you for your love, and thank you for your grace," and I could start to pray for them and intercede for them and not judge them, but to love them unconditionally. So I just want to, and from that time onwards, I started really to live a journey of personal relationship with the Lord, not religiously in religion. You just come and tumble all that walls. Now I'm really grateful to experience His love firsthand and experience mercy and grace, and to through that share that with the world and pray for them and understand, you know, sin and love and mercy and grace. So, yeah.
So, just some context. Before the season where the Lord moved me to Josh Chen, I was involved in ministry and in church for very long and very used to people testifying, speaking about God, doing all the things. And then in 2018, I just felt the Lord telling me, step down from all official leadership and serving roles and just learn that it's okay to just be a son, that you don't need to do anything. And that's been a journey. Even sharing now, like, I've had a lot of stuff that the Lord's been doing in my heart, but many times I've been hesitant to share it because I don't want to glorify myself like Absalom did with David. But I've also been just encouraged in bring your gift to the table. not because I want to be something, but because I don't want to prevent God blessing someone else. And what I'm sharing now is really something that the Father, especially in the past 2 months, has really, it's a fire that burns inside of me. It's the reason I've been getting up in the morning over the past 6 years and the past 2 years and the past 2 months. It's really what I live for, and that's just that I realized that even though I've been involved in ministry, that I wasn't as close to Jesus as I can be. And it's in that place of choice where I realized that I can step back from this journey of I want more of God, and God can still use me because, you know, that's by grace, and I might still get to heaven. And people might still think you're this awesome holy guy who has all these gifts, but only I will know that I'm not as close to Jesus as I can be. And just the journey that the Father's been taking me on in terms of that, I mean, obviously biblically, and I've seen this, there's a very godly place for community and for accountability. But I do believe that there's a place where every Christian needs to decide for themselves, how close do I really want to be to Jesus? And it's in a book I read, it's just a lady told a story of going to Turkey and seeing how Turkish carpets get made using the sevarams, silkworms, yes. And just that you get that you get two types of silkworms, where the one silkworm, his life mission is, you know, he does the old cocoon thing, and then he becomes a moth, and then he lays eggs, and then the process starts over, where the other silkworm is he does the cocoon thing, and then they use the cocoon to make a Turkish carpet, and apparently one of these carpets take about a year to make, and the bigger ones take more than a year to make, and then in the end they feed the silkworm to chickens. But just the challenge in the story that the lady said, which makes a lot of sense to me, is which you get two types of Christians. You get the Christian that does the normal thing. You know, you start as a caterpillar, you do the cocoon thing, you become a moth, and it's cool, and you reproduce, and then you get the silkworm that's fed up with the normal way things have been going, and that wants more, and that's willing to die for his life to become more and to actually become a Turkish carpet. And that's what the Lord's really been challenging me on, and it links a lot to what we've been sharing in church for the past month or more, you know, that thing of sharing the gospel and stepping out, and just a realization of why do I do it, you know, that Christianity, for me, it's not enough, like just to do it because. If my relationship with Jesus isn't more real than my relationship with, as an example, with my brother, then it's not worth it for me. And that's really something that I've been trusting the Lord for myself and for the church. And it gives a lot of context to what people have been sharing with Ruan's sermon, I think 2 weeks ago. After the sermon, I was actually just so frustrated of like, I want more. This current way of doing Christianity for me is not enough. Because what I see in my own life and in the life of normal Christianity in South Africa and what I read in the Bible isn't the same. And I really believe that one of the big stepping stones to get to that is that thing in your own heart. How close do I want to be to Jesus? Because no one else can make that decision for you. And I can testify, I mean, if you know me, you've heard a lot of parts of my testimony probably. The Lord's changed me a lot over the past 12. But I can really testify that's in that place of wanting more of Jesus no matter the cost. He comes in and he changes your life. Because you can't crucify yourself. You can't get yourself closer to God, but if you are willing, then he changes your life, and he takes your little silkworm, and he makes it into a Turkish carpet that's a lot bigger than you are. Yeah, and that's just something that the Lord did in my life over the past while.
Hi, everyone. So I would like to share something that starts, the moral of the story is that I went through really a difficult time of burnout this year. It sort of started last year, but what happened before that, which is sort of linked, is that I also experienced this thing where normally when I read the word, you know, I love the word. I want to read it in Hebrew. I'm not totally into the Greek yet, but okay. I have this lifetime. I don't think my life is long enough. Maybe in heaven I'll do the Greek. So I just love being in the Word, and it feels like, you know, it's such food for my soul. And I was just used to really hearing God through the Word. And then when I became pregnant, I don't know, it must have been the hormones or something, I just really started struggling to break through in the Word. Like my focus, everything was just, I was just different. It felt like a wall. And so it was sort of a challenge. God was challenging me, you know, like, if you don't experience me the way that you're used to, are you still, you know, are you still on fire? Are you still wanting me to, you know, expecting to hear my voice? So that's what I experienced God was saying. And then I gave birth, and, you know, motherhood and all of this happened. And I just became more tired and tired, and, you know, lack of sleep and all of this, and had some other nutritional issues and diet issues. And so at the same time, Yanni and I became calm leaders. And what the moral of the story that I want to share with you is just that how normally when I go through a hard place, I would testify about it afterwards. But because we were calm leaders, I didn't have that luxury. So we had to share with them, like, guys, we're really struggling. We know we're the calm leaders, but we're struggling. And I was just like, I'm so tired. And I'm like, I feel like I can't get out of bed. And I can't even think of, you know, worshiping and ministering to other people and doing stuff for other people the way I would. And what I really think the Lord wanted to do is two things. The one thing is to share the burden, whatever I'm going through, with the people around me, even though I don't yet see the end of the tunnel. That's very hard for me. So I want to encourage everyone else, if you're going through a hard time, you know, we really are family. And even if you feel, oh, everyone else is fine, I'm just still not okay. I want to encourage everyone, it's okay. Just continue to live an open life. Be brave. Be brave and courageous and live an open life. Second thing is, what was the second thing? Oh, the second thing was just how people prayed for me. And this, yeah, I'm just so thankful to the Lord that Ingrid, a couple of people prayed. And this thing, one day, I just felt, this thing with the Word, it's back. And it happened about a month or 6 weeks ago. And it's like, whoa, I can read the Bible and actually see more than the words again. So it really was a season that I had to push through. So then I just want to share one scripture that sort of sums it up. And I want to encourage everyone with this. And also, by the way, the burnout is like, I'm really getting out of it. And I feel like I'm actually recognizing myself again. I don't feel so depressed anymore. I feel I can actually, yeah, basically recognize myself. Because I didn't recognize myself. So in James 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." So for me, it's just keep on loving him, no matter what.
Hi, guys. Morning. morning, guys. So 2 weeks ago when Ruan talked for the first time, or when Ruan talked about, you know, the lady push-ups, so I feel a bit like I'm following in the guys with the 150 deadlifts, but I'm going to share my story about my lady push-ups with you this morning. So in the beginning of lockdown, you know, everybody, that first 2-3 weeks, you're excited, you've got a bit more time, you know, you can do things at home. So I was still doing a bit of exercising. I'm just going to follow on Ruan's theme now for a moment. And then at some point, you know, you got a bit despondent because this thing is dragging on. You don't know where the end is. And then at one point, you also get to that point where Ruan also talked about, where you say, okay, I'm just going to do something now. And you start doing something again. I'm talking about exercise now. And in the same in the spiritual world, or the faith, the journey of faith, is I was not really doing anything. You know, you try to be a good guy, like any BC type of person normally does. Majority, let's put it majority. And then after one sermon the other day, you know, I said, you know, let's try. I'm not going to be the guy that stands up and go preach and Bible bash, because that always used to freak me out as a BC person. So Kala and I have been running on Friday mornings, and about a week and a bit ago, you know, I said, Lord, if you can, I know you can, but show me how you want to use me this morning. And as we were running, you know, I run through the past the first person. There were two ladies standing and chatting then close to Lanzarak. And I ran past them. And as I was coming back, the one lady was walking down, and I'm thinking, what do I say to her? So I ran past. And I'm thinking, should I turn around? What do I do now? And then another guy with a bike comes past, and I'm thinking, what do I tell this oak? I end up not telling him anything. and then as I got into the top of the hill, I saw the other lady, and I initially just ran past her again, and then I thought, okay, let's just say something, you know, lady push up. So I just turned around and just, you know, introduced myself and just say hi, and she actually took over the conversation. She started talking to me. yes. But we ended up having a quick chat, and I said, you know, before I leave, I actually had an ulterior motive. I actually just wanted to tell you this morning, Jesus loves you. And she started, you know, saying what a blessing she's been experiencing the last week or so, and if she has to share it with what's going on in her life at the moment, she would keep me here for another week. And then end up saying, you know, thank you for the chat and for giving me the word this morning. And that's basically my encouragement. It's just not a lot. Just my lady push-ups is just telling somebody Jesus loves you. I know at some point, you know, the arms are going to get a bit stronger and I'll be able to do a man push-up. But that's not where I am right now. So for now, I'm just trusting the Lord to open the door and just open the door, sow the seed.